remember.
I'm sorry, where are we holding?
Holding cast iron, ammoed aleph, 27A7. Tom, so that's where we got to yesterday. Right, so in that machloket we learned two things. First of all, we learned that actually this is not, according to the Gemara, just a repeat of this Tanai Kavanah. And secondly, we learned that the machloket appears in Rabbi Meir. So Rabbi Meir appears to be the opinion that was followed out of that Tanaic argument. Okay, so now let's go back in the Gemara. We're going to come back to that a little bit, so that's why I've left it up on the board. Okay, next. That is, Shem, we'll finish maybe to the end of this subject today. So, Gemara says. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. 11 lines up. End of the line, the Hilchata. Hilchata Kavte de Abai. And the Halacha follows Abai. Right? At the end of this proof, if you like, or the end of this piece of Gemara, the Gemara says, and the Halacha follows Abai. Then the Gemara says, Vaha Itotev. But wait a minute, Vaha, behold, Itotev, we had a Tiyuvta. Didn't we just Tiyuvta Abai out? We kushted him out the way earlier. How can you tell me now the Halacha follows him? I thought we had a Tiyuvta. So the Gemara answers, Hahi, that, right, that writer that we used in the past to cancel out Abai, Rabbi Yossi, he. That was a Rabbi Yossi writer. Right? We said over here that according to Rabbi Yossi, it wouldn't be an argument. Right? Why not? Because Abai's opinion can't exist inside Rabbi Yossi. So therefore, when we got rid of Abai before, it was because we were following Rabbi Yossi. And now we're not. Now we're following Rabbi Meir. So the Tiyuvta that we thought was a complete Tiyuvta, really according to Rabbi Yossi, where we don't have Abai. According to Rabbi Yossi, Abai's opinion can't exist. That's why we gave Abai a Tiyuvta, and we got rid of it. But now the Gemara says, well, now we've learned this, we can see actually that old opinion was following Rabbi Yossi, and we are going with Rabbi Meir. So I can ignore that Tiyuvta. Okay, because that followed Rabbi Yossi. The Gemara continues and says, "Betelve nami Rabbi Yossi." Okay, so even if you want to say that it was following Rabbi Yossi, we have a rule, Rabbi Meir or Rabbi Yossi, Halacha or Rabbi Yossi. When we have a dispute between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi, like we do over here, so the usual rule is, right, you follow Rabbi Yossi. We learned over here with Abba and Rabba. Normally when we have a dispute, Abba and Rabba, who do we follow?
Rabba.
Rabba, except?
Six cases.
Ya'el Kagam. Right? Those six cases. Case of dispute between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi, normally we follow Rabbi Yossi. Except, right? Except the Gemara says not here. Shani Atam. Thank you very much. You're bringing me flowers. What's this?
This me.
Excuse me?
This me.
Basamim. Oh, basamim. What basamim is this? Does it smell still?
Yeah, someone was passing it out on the bus, and it smells. I don't know what it still smells in my backpack.
Is this, do you know if this is a tree or a ground? Oh, move it. It's from the ground or from the tree? Very nice. Thank you very much. Good morning, Daniel. Okay. So here, Shani Atam, here it's different. Here we don't follow Rabbi Yossi. Why? Destam lantana karabi meir. Because when it's stam, when there's a tana that has given this opinion stam, we go by Rabbi Meir. What does he mean? So he's saying like this. Normally in the case of Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi, if there's just that machloka in the Gemara, we follow Rabbi Yossi. But there are occasions when this same opinion of Rabbi Meir is found in a different Mishnah. If it's found in a different Mishnah, unnamed, we have a rule set that often an unnamed Mishnah is Rabbi Meir. Right? Often an unnamed Mishnah is Rabbi Meir. And when you find an unnamed Mishnah, unless there's a reason not to, you go with that Mishnah. Right, that's the way Rabbi formulated. You can say, for example, the reason why we go with that is because otherwise you wouldn't have even bought it. Like you have to, meaning it's so accepted you don't even need to name it. And if it's unnamed, because we didn't even know who said it, then I would never have bought it unless it was the one that we follow. So when you see an unnamed Mishnah, it's often Rabbi Meir. And not only that, but if it agrees with Rabbi Meir somewhere else, even though he's arguing with Rabbi Yossi, we normally follow Rabbi Yossi, because there's an unnamed Mishnah, elsewhere, we go with Rabbi Meir. Because we can find an unnamed Mishnah elsewhere that's the same as this opinion. And therefore, although normally we would follow Rabbi Yossi in a dispute between the two of them, in these disputes we follow Rabbi Meir. So this is one of those cases where we actually are going to follow Rabbi Meir, not Rabbi Yossi. Why? Because we can find another Mishnah which supports the same view, effectively. And the Gemara is now going to say, well, what's that other Mishnah? That's what we're going to do now until the end of the sugya. We're trying to find that Mishnah that is apparently this Mishnah that's going to support Rabbi Meir. Okay? So that's the goal of the Gemara now, with a couple of interesting stories. At least the first one's very interesting. And, well, slightly interesting. Top. Let's see. Top. So then the Gemara says, "Beheicha stamlan." Where is this stam Mishnah? Where is this unnamed Mishnah? So the Gemara says, "Ki hada devar chama, had bar chama." There was this story of bar chama. Katal nafshe, he killed a person. Right, some guy called bar chama killed a person, well, probably because he was called Bar Chama. Bar Chama means Ham. He's a hothead. It was this hothead, Bar Chama. Maybe that was also his name. Anyway, you are, according to who your name is, right? Indicates the person. Amale Reish Galuta. The Reish Galuta. Who is the Reish Galuta?
The head of the exile. The head of the community in the exile.
In Babel. Right, he was the administrative head of the exile in Babel. Also, often he was one of the Talmidei Chachamim. Not always, but often he was also a big rab. So he gets quoted in the Gemara, right? Because his opinions and his discussions were relevant for major issues. So Amale Reish Galuta, the Rab Abba Bar Yaakov. So the Reish Galuta said to Rab Abba Bar Yaakov, right? Hok Ayem Ba. Go out and investigate it, right? Someone's been killed. Go and investigate it. Ivadai Katal, if it's certain that he killed him, Lichayuhu Le'ene. Lichayuhu Le'ene. Nice quote. What does that mean? So let's just see what Rashi says that means. There's a bit of a discussion about what exactly they're going to do to this guy. If it turns out that he did kill him, so what are we going to do to this guy? So Rashi gives us a few different alternatives of what's going to happen. What lichayenu anahim. What it literally means is let his eyes become dim. That's what the translation of the words is in the Pshat.
Let his eyes become
dim. To be from kaheh. Right? Let his eyes become dim. So Rashi says, five lines up from the bottom of the Rashi, Yinkuru et Einav, gouge out his eyes. Gouge out his eyes.
Take out his eyes.
Take out his eyes.
Like Shimshon Hagibur.
Something like that. So that's one explanation of what it means to dim his eyes. We'll see why in a minute. The bat, right, why? So why do that? If he killed him, he's a murderer, so we should kill him, no? That's what we do with murderers that are proven to be murderers. So the Rashi explains why they're going to do that. The bat lu mitzvah beitin, because they'd already cancelled the punishment of mitzvah beitin, of giving the death penalty. Right, because they were in galut. They didn't have batei dinim, or they weren't allowed to do it anymore, whatever. For whatever reason, different reasons, they cancelled the punishment of mitzvah beitin. V'hai knasa ka avdinan bei, the beitin. And this is a punishment which beitin could give. Machin v'onshin shalom in a Torah, which is made and punished not from the Torah. Beis Din has the ability to give what's called in English extrajudicial punishment, right? Punishment that they can decide. They can give makot, they can give fines. Beis Din can do that. They'd even have the power to kill people. Not directly, indirectly, the punishment of sticking someone in a. They would starve someone.
They could starve someone for
3 days,
and then
feed him.
Give them raw barley and water, and they'd have one hell of a stomach ache.
And then his stomach would explode. Top is an indirect form of killing him, right? Top difference for us, we have to understand that not these things are.
Who was doing this?
It's a baiting. Well, it depends who can administer those punishments on the first Mishnah. There's an argument whether or not to give Makot is a 3 or a 23, the Sanhedrin or the Beit Din. Probably the Sanhedrin.
So what Jacob says, it's after 3 days of starving.
Then they feed him Sorah and water, and his stomach expands and explodes. Something like that. Top.
It's something similar to what happened with the Sota.
That's definitely spiritual, because drinking water doesn't do that to you. But starving a person for 3 days and then feeding him stuff might do it. Maybe. Top. Anyway, so Beit Din has had. Doesn't now.
They could also fine him, take all his money away, and give it to the victim.
Well, that's what Rashi is going to say now. So Beit Din has the power to make those punishments in the case where they have no other choice. Right? They had, normally they'd just kill him. Right? But here they potentially could gouge out his eyes. But Yeshomim, other people say, Yislenu mamano, v'yidnu liyoroshav. They took his money, they didn't gouge out his eyes, they took his money and gave it to the heirs. To the
victim's family.
The victim, the one who killed, they gave it to his family. The Yeshomim Shmata. And there's another opinion, a third opinion says, no, they just excommunicated him. Right, each of those giving money and excommunication, you can also learn out from dimming a person's eyes, you could get Peirushim as to why that comes from that phrase. Rashi concludes the Rishonika, but the first opinion is the main one. Right, according to Rashi, the first opinion of gouging out his eyes is the main opinion. Although those three opinions of what actually took place, Rashi goes with the first one. So yeah. What?
So he was in the court. Did they make a wrong?
Yes.
So it was not his fault. It's the court. The court made a wrong decision.
Why not?
Because they're not giving the death penalty.
They're not allowed to give him the death penalty. Just after they cancelled the death penalty, because they were in Galut. You know, in Israel, they were probably still giving the death penalty. But in Bavel, they didn't have the ability to give the death penalty. Either because, for whatever reason, maybe they weren't allowed to by the government or whatever, but they weren't giving the death penalty. But they were allowed to give these other punishments. So that's what the Reish Galuta said to Rav Abba Bar Yaakov. Go and investigate, and if it turns out that he definitely killed him, then do this thing to him. Atu Trei Sahade. Came along two witnesses. As Hidu Bey Vadai Katel. And they testified that for sure he had killed him. Right? They found two witnesses who testified that he was guilty. Azal Ihu, he went out. The victim, right? Bahama, he went out. IT Trey Sade. And he found, or he brought, two witnesses. As Hidu Bey Bahad Mahanach. And they testified against one of these. He found two witnesses who came along and testified against one of the accusing witnesses. Right? What did they do? Chadamah, one of the witnesses, right, he brought two witnesses to testify against one of theirs. Right? Now, one of his witnesses, one of the new witnesses, said, Kameti de Ganav Kaba Duchushla. He said, in front of me, this person stole a calf of barley, shelled barley. Calf of barley. A calf is a measure of barley, of Sorah. He stole it in front of me. I know that this guy's a thief. Bechanama, one of the other witness says, Kamaydi de Ganab. In front of me, he stole Kata de Bortia, over the page. Kata de Bortia, a spear handle. So, what we're seeing now is two witnesses come along to discredit the first set of witnesses that, right? How? By not testifying that they were lying, that we were there, we saw, and they're not true. Not testifying that they're Zomimim. He didn't say you were with us on that day and that date and therefore you could never have been there. Testifying a third option, which is this guy is a thief. And we know from our learning of this sugya that a thief can't be a witness. So he's trying to get him disqualified as a valid witness, which we're allowed to do. If you can show that he's a thief. So how did he do that? So interestingly, they only went against one because you only need to discredit one. Right? Because if you can discredit one, then you've only left with one witness and this one witness is not enough. And not only do they only go against one, but you need two witnesses against the person. But here we have one witness that says, I saw you steal some barley. And the other witness says, I saw you steal, I don't know, a spear, whatever, something else. But apparently the footnote tells me that's still allowed. The two witnesses don't have to have witnessed the same thing, unusually. Because usually they do.
Yeah, that's really, what does Rashi say? Because it's really weird.
They said he's stealing.
Rashi doesn't comment on it.
Does anyone else?
No, only the footnote here at the bottom page, right, which says both witnesses testified that he stole, albeit at two separate times. It's possible to disqualify someone based on the combined testimony of two witnesses to the commission of two separate misdeeds, as long as the two misdeeds are of the same genre, i.e., here in this case, they're both acts of theft. So that was enough. Okay, so that's what he tried to do in order to get off the rap, to beat the rap. Amale, he said to him. So here, Rav Abba Bar Yaakov is talking to Bar Chama, right? The judge is talking to the accused. My datach, what's your opinion? Meaning, what's your intention here? What are you trying to do here? Why are you bringing these two guys to discredit? What do you think that's going to help? Why? Rabbi Meir, because we go by Rabbi Meir. Right, what does Rabbi Meir say? In the dispute between Rabbi Yossi, he's bringing now back this dispute. We follow Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir, we said, goes from a Kula to a Chumrah. He allows, how's this going to help? Yossi. He said. It's a problem. He says, wait a minute. What are you trying to do by trying to disqualify this witness? Right? If you think that it should be like Rabbi Meir would disqualify, you're right. If we follow Rabbi Meir, then if he managed to disqualify this witness by showing that he's a thief, then we would throw out his testimony from this capital case. Right? This is now a higher case. You're right. He was suspected in the lower case of theft. Do we disqualify him from a higher case of capital punishment? Yes, according to Rabbi Meir. We go from a Kula to a Chumrah. Right? If you're suspect in the lower case, you're also suspect in the higher case. So according to Rabbi Meir, what you're trying to do works. Right? You're trying to accuse this witness in the capital case against you of being a thief. Right? And a theft means that he's lied in the case of a lower, but we don't have any proof that he's lied in the case of capital offences. But according to Rabbi Meir, that doesn't matter. We do go from a Kula to a Chumrah. Rabbi Meir said, if you are caught lying in a civil case, you're also disqualified from a capital case. So we know, so if you can prove to me, which you have, that he's caught lying in the case of a financial matter, then is he going to be suspect of lying in a capital case? Yes, according to Rabbi Meir, we go from a Kula to a Chumrah. But, says Rabbi Abba Bar Yaakov, Rabbi Meir for Rabbi Yossi, halacha to Rabbi Yossi, we've got a dispute here between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi, and we know, according to this, we go by Rabbi Yossi. So this doesn't work. It's very nice. You've proven to everyone that one of these witnesses is actually a thief. But in this dispute, we go by Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi says we don't go from a Kula to a Chumrah. Just because he's found to be a thief and he's disqualified from a financial testimony doesn't mean he's disqualified automatically from a capital crime. Right? We don't move him up a level and say he's also suspecting that. Because that's what Rabbi Yossi says. And we follow Rabbi Yossi in that dispute. Amale Rav Papi. But Rav Papi said to him, Rav Papi was sitting there in the courtroom at the time, says, actually, Actually, Rav Abba Bar Yaakov. It's not correct. Hani Mile Hecha Delostam Lan Tanak Rabbi Meir. These words, this rule that we follow Rabbi Yossi, only applies in the case where we don't have another unnamed Mishnah following Rabbi Meir somewhere else. That thing. Right? So, V'hacha Stam Lan Tanak Rabbi Meir, and here we do have another case of a Mishnah which follows Rabbi Meir. So, you're right, normally the rule would be we follow Rabbi Yossi, and we can't accept the test, we would accept the testimony because it doesn't help. But in this case, we actually follow Rabbi Meir, and it does help, because we're going to throw out the testimony. We do move from a Kula to a Chumrah, and we're going to throw out this guy's testimony because we follow Rabbi Meir. So now, the Gemara wants to ask the question again. Okay, so where is this unnamed Mishnah? Mimai, from where? Where is this piece of this Mishnah which follows Rabbi Meir that gives support that he's actually correct in this argument? So, the Gemara first tries an option which we're going to reject. But the first option the Gemara is going to say is, I'll tell you where it's from. It's from over here. Where? Ilema mehatanan. Maybe you want to say it's from this Mishnah. What's the Mishnah? Now brings the Mishnah. Maybe you want to say this is the source. Kol ha ra'ui ladun dine nefashot. Ra'ui ladun dine mamanot. Okay, so we have a Mishnah which says, everyone who is fitting to judge capital cases is fitting also to judge monetary cases. Right, so that's what the Mishnah says. Mani, whose opinion is this Mishnah? Ilema Rabbi Yossihi. If you want to say this is this Mishnah follows Rabbi Yossi. Ha'ika Eid Zomem the Mammon. There was a case of an Eid Zomem in a monetary case. The Kasher L'dinei Nefashot, who is still eligible in a capital case. U'pasul L'dinei Mammonot, but he's ineligible in civil cases. El alav Rabbi Meir, therefore it must be Rabbi Meir. Always saying like this. We've got a new Mishnah. The new Mishnah says like this. All who are fit for judging capital cases are also fit for judging monetary. Right, that's the Mishnah. So they want to know, that's a Stam Mishnah. It's unnamed. There's no tag of a rabbi. It says rabbi so and so. Right, so Stam Mishnah means it's an unnamed Mishnah. Who's this unnamed Mishnah? So let's see. So first of all, if you want to say maybe it's Rabbi Yossi. So let's see. Rabbi Yossi has a case here. Zomemim. What did Rabbi Yossi say in the case of Zomemim? He said, if you're a Zomemim witness in a monetary case, you're disqualified, you're found to be a Zomemim witness, then you're still allowed to be in the high case. So that doesn't work here. All who are fit for judging in a capital case, this Zomem Mitzvah, he is fit for the capital case. He's also fit for the monetary case, but he's not. So Rabbi Yossi doesn't fit. But rather, it must be Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir does fit, right? The other side, he disagrees. Therefore, we must say it's Rabbi Meir. So that might be our answer. This is the unnamed Mishnah, which follows Rabbi Meir. Apparently, this followed Rabbi Meir. but not necessarily. I can argue with that conclusion. How? Mimai. How is that so? Dilma, maybe, de pesule yochasin kai. Maybe pesule yochasin kai. We're talking about being pasul on account of yochasin. Yichus. What's yichus? Relatives. What is it? Here it doesn't mean relatives as in, here it doesn't mean relatives like your relative in the case it's your brother, it's your father, it's your mother. Here it means yichus in the true Yiddish sense of yichus. What's yichus?
It means either
he. It means your forebears. What's your yichus?
Your forebears were either a convert, a ger, or possibly a slave.
Right.
Maybe it's also mamzer.
Or
mamzer. So what are we looking at here? So maybe we're looking at a case of. What's Rashi say over here? Pasul yochasin. What does it mean to be pasul yochasin? Rashi says, "Delenefashot beit din miyuchasin ba'inan." In the case of capital crimes, the beit din does need to have a pedigree, right? It needs to be specific lineage. The Tanei Rabbi Yosef, like we learned from Rabbi Yosef, we're going to on Lamed ahead. We're going to learn ahead on page 36, Amud Bet. Right, we're going to see that. We haven't got that yet. Keshem Sheva Beit Din Manokin Bet Sedek Shenema Bet Sedek Tishbot Kach Beit Din Manokin Mikol Mum. Just like the Beit Din has to be clean, just. So too, it has to be clean from any blemish. Shenema kulach yafer ra'iti v'umum ein ba. Because it said in the pasuk that there's no blemish. I saw that it was beautiful and there was no blemish in it. Huh? Oh, ra'iti. Ah, my friend. And there was no blemish in it. So, what does that mean? So, according to the footnote that Rabbi Yaakov's explained to us, it means that judges need to be, in a capital case, cannot be from a mamzer or a convert or a slave. That's the rule for capital crimes, for judging. And maybe, says the Gemara, this Mishnah, which says all who are fit for judging capital cases, also fit for judging monetary cases, is talking about pedigree, not talking about disqualification. You're right, if it was talking about a case of disqualification, it would follow Rabbi Meir. And then we would have this unnamed Mishnah, like Rabbi Meir, like we were looking for. But we don't have to say that. We can say that actually this is talking about pedigree. The Gemara will now explain how that fits in with this Mishnah. De'ilo temahachi, because if you don't say that, if you don't say this isn't the correct explanation of what's really going on in this Mishnah, seifa, the end of this Mishnah, the Katana Yesh Ra'ui Ladon Dinei Mamonot Ve'ein Ra'ui Ladon Dinei Nefeshot, which says at the end of this Mishnah there's another bit which says there are those who are fitting to judge monetary cases and who are not fitting to judge Dinei Nefeshot. Right, but they're not fitting to judge capital cases.
That anyone could be for a monetary case, but not everyone for a capital case.
Yeah. I don't remember.
Just a star, anybody who's on the street.
For a loan case. We learned for a loan case that you could have. You could have a corner dweller. But not as a difference between. Right. Okay. So here in the second part, the second half of the Mishnah, which we haven't got up, but the second half of the Mishnah, the Gemara now brings and says, it has to be a case of pedigree, because the second half of the Mishnah says, there are those who are fit to judge a monetary case, a lower case, and they're not fit to judge a higher case. And the Gemara therefore says, why would you not be fit in such a case? The itazam bedinei nefashot. Because if he was found to be a zomem witness in a capital case, ra'ui ladun dinei mamanot, would he be fit to judge monetary cases? No. So we can't be talking about zomemim witnesses. And here in this Mishnah, everyone is agreeing that he's pasul. So it can't be that we're talking about disqualification. Rather, there must therefore be talking about pedigree. Therefore, here too, in the first case of the Mishnah, right, if we take the Sefer and the Reisha, you say the Sefer must be talking about pedigree. So then it follows that the Reisha, the first off, is also talking about pedigree. That's the reasoning. And therefore, this can't be the source of Rabbi Meir's unnamed Mishnah. So we have to throw that one out. So instead, the Gemara is going to give us, Bezrat Hashem, we'll finish it in the next 2 minutes, the real case. Elahacha ka Stam Lantana. Rather, this is the case of the unnamed Stam Tana that we're talking about, that goes with Rabbi Meir. Ditanam. We learned in a Mishnah like this. Elu hena pasulin. These are the ones that are pasul. Right? This is similar to our, similar, but it's not the same as our Mishnah. It looks similar, but it's not the same. This one, Mishnah, is taken from Masechet Rosh Hashanah. Hamasachet bekubia. Someone who plays with dice. Umalve beribit. Someone who lends on interest. Umafriche yonim. Someone who flies pigeons. Vesochrei shviit. And deals in shviit produce. Va'abadim, and slaves. Zeklal, this is still the Mishnah. This is the rule. Kol eidut she'ein isha kasher la. Any testimony for which a woman is ineligible, she wouldn't be fit to give testimony in it. Afhen ein kasherin la. So too, this list of people is also not eligible in that same case. There are cases in which women are allowed to give testimony. They're very few. They're basically relating to a case of the Aguna, where her husband's missing. She's allowed to give testimony in that case, right? But, and maybe one or two other cases, but they're very few. But any case where one of these people would be disqualified, sorry, any case which a woman would be disqualified, one of these people would be disqualified. Top, that's the Mishnah. Right, we don't have to go into it too much. We're just trying to see who that Mishnah is. Mini, who is it? Let's now check. This is an unnamed Mishnah. Is it like Rabbi Yossi or is it like Rabbi Meir? So first of all, Ilema Rabbi Yossi. If you say it's Rabbi Yossi, so it can't be. Why can't it be Rabbi Yossi? Va'ika edut b'dinei nafashot. Because there is a case of witnessing in the case of dinei nafashot, a capital case. She'ein ha'isha kasheira, which a woman's not eligible to testify in. Vehen kashurima. And these ones in the list are eligible. Why are they eligible? Because they are only dealing with financial irregularities, which disqualifies them from civil cases. But it doesn't disqualify them from capital cases. Ella lav Rabbi Meir. Therefore, it must be that this follows Rabbi Meir, who says, we go from a kula to a chumrah and we do disqualify them. Right? If you say that these people are all disqualified, like the Mishnah says they're all disqualified, how can they all be disqualified? So they wouldn't be disqualified according to Rabbi Yossi. Because Rabbi Yossi doesn't go from a kula to a chumrah. Just because they were disqualified for dice playing doesn't mean we're going to disqualify them from a capital case. We don't go from a kula to a chumrah. Rabbi Meir does. So he agrees with this Mishnah that they would be disqualified. Therefore, this Mishnah must be like Rabbi Meir. And therefore, we found an unnamed Mishnah, and therefore, our dispute can follow Rabbi Meir. Which is what we're trying to find. And the Gemara finishes off by saying, Kamba Hama, he stood up.
You're driving the car, right?
Nashke Albay, he kissed him on his foot. Vakavle Lekaragay Dukhule Shane. And he took upon himself to his tax for the rest of the year. For the rest of his years.